All right. Hey, good morning, or actually good afternoon. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good afternoon. It is June 19th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth to all. It definitely means that we have a ton of people coming to the beach. apparently it's a federal holiday. Awesome. That gave the green light. It should be a traffic teenth today because we have a ton of traffic, and but that's cool. You know, grateful everybody gets to come down to the beach and enjoy it. I'm blessed enough to be here all the time, so I definitely appreciate, or I can appreciate, people coming down. It's an inconvenience, but you know what? Thank you. Thank you to the people, because if it wasn't for the people, this town wouldn't exist. And got up this morning. Actually, it is Wednesday. Not working today. Off today, thank goodness. And got up this morning, met my coach down at the ocean. We are still trying to figure out how to handle these boats. Last year was really great. We had a great couple guys that were super accommodating, I guess that would be the right word, and allowed us to keep the boats down at the state park, and it was great, and everything was wonderful. This year, we haven't had the same luck. So we have been paddling out of the Lewis Canal, which is amazing, right? It's absolutely phenomenal. The problem is to get to the good place, right, to get around the point, right, to get out there in the ocean, really, where all the action is, it's probably about 6 miles away. And yeah, we went there today. I mean, we've gone out there. It's about an 11-mile paddle to get. Actually, it's an 11-mile paddle to be able to go and see where we used to go. And so today we have we're trying something. We went out to, we call it the Dolphin Pond. So there's this area sort of off from the fishing pier where we used to, you know, paddle out of. And we paddled over there today, and actually there were so many dolphins in the water. It was so cool. Dolphins are crazy. I mean, I see, you know, I've obviously seen a lot on television, right? We've well-documented these dolphins, but when you're out in a canoe and they're freaking swimming around you, man, it is humbling, right? Just because they're like this other species, right? I just don't pay much attention to dolphins. I mean, I love them. They're cute, beautiful. But, man, when you're with them out there, they demand a little respect. I mean, we've never obviously had any incidents with the dolphins, but I wouldn't want one of those things to get upset, because they are big and muscular and they will slap you with a fin, I would imagine. So very cool, though. Got to see the dolphins, and then we actually paddled around the point, went out to the ocean, and then came back. And we're trying to just kind of stick one of these boats over on the beach, sort of in this no man's land, right? And hopefully we can do that. It's, you know, there's nothing greater than going around that point down in Lewis and heading out into the ocean and just being out there. It was so great today. At one point, we were coming back, and the waves were rolling in to the right, and this one just passed right under us, and the whole boat just, it was just, it's such a heavy, emotional kind of experience being out there. I'm just so grateful and blessed that I get to do it, and just such a, so awesome, such a great way to start my day. So we did that. I think we did about 9 miles, and then parked the boat, and then I hustled home, grabbed Big Sam, went and picked up my father, and went out to breakfast, or really lunch, and, you know, he's getting older, and he's having more trouble, and he is, you know, I just try to get to be with him as much as we can, and whatnot. I had a hamburger. He had blueberry pancakes. Big Sam had some chocolate chip pancakes. And then he hung out. We left. And then I gave Sam a haircut and came home. And, you know, I was telling my wife, I go, I've done everything I needed to do today, right? I did want to sit down and try to do a podcast. It is a new week. Went to a meeting on Monday. I did get an email from a guy. It's so funny. I guess if someone really wanted to, like, chew me out, you could find me, I suppose. And this guy found, we have a Facebook page, for I'm Sorry About Last Night. And he always writes comments to me. And they're usually not very friendly. In fact, they're very, they can be kind of mean. and hurtful. But I, you know, I appreciate it, right? I appreciate this guy. And, you know, I, you know, he'll send me text, you know, I have, there's actually two guys, one, another guy, if I have one guy that just criticizes me, period. And then I have another guy that criticizes me if I talk about RFK Jr. This guy that usually just criticizes me, he criticized me because he said that I talked about RFK Jr. and worms in the same podcast. Difference. Interesting. You know, I've shared Pearl Jam's out on tour. They played this song live the other night, or I watched a video of them playing it. It must have been last month or earlier in this month or whatever, but such a freaking great song. Eddie killed it, of course. Loved it. You know, the weird thing is this album came out when I was in jail. And I'll never forget that because I loved Pearl Jam and I was in jail when this album was released. And I was bummed, right? I was bummed. But such a great album, great song. So yeah, I went to the meeting on Monday. This all sort of ties together in the end. And we, last week we did the fifth step. So this week we're obviously into the sixth step. And yeah, ooh, the sixth step, right? People make so much about the fourth step. And then, oh yeah, but what about the fifth? Oh yeah, that's a big step. What about the sixth? Big step, right? We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. We're entirely, and these, there's some big words in there, people that love to get hung up on, right? We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Whew. You know, one of the, you know, and I did talk about RFK and the worm, and the joke is, you know, because RFK said he had, or someone said he had a brain worm, and apparently had a parasite, so I tied the two together, didn't mean to, it wasn't really what I was talking about, but, you know, I get a lot of, it's funny how I, you know, there are all the people, like, I can love Eddie Vedder, I can love so many different people in the world, but when I find a guy like RFK, and the main reason that I like him is character. I like that he just seems to tell the truth. I like that he doesn't give a shit. If his story has some bumps in it, he puts it all out there. The nice thing about that is when you do share your story like that, there isn't many things people can fucking come after you about. And, you know, the sixth step. And the other thing about RFK is being a guy that's 42 years sober, he has gone through all of these steps, right? This, and he's shared all about it. And I don't know if it's such a humbling, you know, and I don't want to say this is about God, but so much about really this relationship with the higher power, the spiritual awakening that happens through these steps. I don't know what it is, but the amount of attacks that this guy gets is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I just, I'm like, for what? Because he's just telling the truth, right? Is it an attack on his humility? Is it an attack on God? Right? Is it, can it be that deep? I don't know, but I, in my 55 years, I've never seen probably one of the greatest men, right, that I've watched, listened to. I personally do not know this guy, but I know the struggles that I've gone through to get to where I've gotten to, and I know the struggles that this guy's gone to get to where he's gotten to. And out of all the people that I've ever met or known or liked, I've never seen a guy catch so much grief. Never. I just briefly talk about him and people come after me on this, on the, through the Facebook and stuff because of, they don't like him. And I'm like, for, you know, I don't understand why people don't like this guy. You know, it's crazy. But one of the things that, you know, in the sixth step that I had to start figuring out is character. And I have talked about this pod, this step many times, right? You know, what would I look like as a caricature? Right. I remember growing up as a kid, character was very important. Right. Your parents, my dad used to say, shake the man's hand, say thank you, right? Say you're welcome. You know, all of these we used to call them manners when I was a kid. Manners. You have to have manners. You greet people, you know, out of respect. A lot of old people, they really get upset when, like my kids don't have the greatest manners, right? And I've tried to teach them, you know, say thank you, right? Nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit about manners anymore. Nobody seems to give a shit about character anymore. It's sad. And when I guess when I saw him on Joe Rogan's podcast, I was like, fuck, man, this guy has got great character, right? And I miss it. I miss character. I appreciate it, right? It is the, for me, the backbone, right, of finding happiness. Right, you can. I cannot find happiness. I cannot find sobriety. I could definitely not find serenity. I cannot have a spiritual awakening unless I address a list of other things. But right there in the middle is character. And the tough part about it, it says we're entirely ready to have God remove character. And people are like, "Well, shit." Including myself was like, "Shit, I don't know. I can't seem to figure out a relationship with God. So I don't know what that even looks like. I don't even know how I would ask Him." Right. And, you know, and then I've, you know, I did the step and was, you know, I addressed character, right. Went on to the seventh step to me. And what I, and I heard this the other night in the meeting, I think I've heard this, but I heard it loud and clear, right. Character defects are sins. They're sins, right. Gluttony. It's the seven deadly sins. Those really are our character defects. And if you, I can remember back in the day when I would do things that were out of character, right? You feel bad about it. You're like, shit, immediately, I hope I get away with this. I hope I don't get caught, right? I hope, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's all of a sudden the shit's all over me, right? Because I've done something out of character, right? I've committed a sin. And the first thing that comes with when we break a sin or break character like that is uncomfortability with ourselves. I mean, unless we're so far gone, right? I don't know what the term is, when you don't care that you don't care, and hope we don't get that far. But at some point, you know, I remember early drinking, early partying, I still gave a shit, right? I still gave a shit. I still had character. But I did it long enough, and the character finally faded. You know, I talked about, you know, living in San Diego and getting caught right by the cops. Someone told on me. Cops raided me. And I was like, immediately, I'm done with this, right? I'm done with this. I've been a deadly sin, gluttony, right? Lying, cheating, stealing, right? Peace of mind. you know, promoting people, giving me things, trading for drugs. I'm sure somebody was stealing something. It was not a victimless crime. And I was promoting it. I was doing all of it completely. If you'd have pulled that guy out and stuck me 5 years prior, that guy wouldn't have been able to do that kind of stuff. It wasn't in my character. But over time, you know, doing the things that I did, living this life of self, right? I gave up on character and just started doing what I wanted to do. And I remember I'm like, I've been caught. I've got to quit. And then getting high the next day, right? And getting high the next day. And then I'm like, I got to go to court. I definitely got to not go to court high. Went to court high, right? I've got to turn myself in. I want the best thing to happen. You know, I definitely can't go turning myself into jail high. Walked into jail high. Just couldn't. I just gave. I stopped caring about not caring. Terrible. It was terrible. And so when I came back into, you know, recovery and I had to start working on these steps, you know, the thing about entirely ready, right? Because the problem is you really have to give them all these bad characters up, right? You can't continue, you know, and it starts talking about like in the third step, right? You can't have one, you can't try to go through that doorway with one foot in one world and another foot in the other world. You can't, you know, go to meetings, be sober, and then still ripping people off and lying and cheating, right? You can't try to build a relationship with God while at the same time destroying a relationship with God. And so when it says entirely ready to have God, because I'm still wondering what this relationship is right now, today I'm starting to understand, right? Everything I thought about God, everything that I was told, right? Every illustration, every thought that was put into my head about a relationship with God, I had to blow away, wipe it away, and start fresh, right? Because that relationship, I couldn't quite get it together because it was motivated by self, driven by self. What can you give me, God? What can you fix? I want to have a conversation. I want an assistant. I want a holy assistant, right? That's what a self-centered person wants from God, a holy assistant. Fix this God, fix that God. That God ain't available. And if it is, you've somehow painted a picture to make it work into your fucking tortured life because God just doesn't work like that. At least not my God. Where my God is this guy, it's not even a guy, right? It's a feeling, it's a thought, it's a consciousness. It's a place of peace, free of fear, right? When I started selling drugs, when I started drinking, immediately fear comes in. Uh-oh, right? I hope we don't get caught. Oh, I'm going to get caught. I hope I don't get a DUI. I hope I don't get arrested. You know, all the fear flows in. You can't have God and fear in the same place. They just don't, because fear is based in self. Who's afraid? Self is afraid, right? And a relationship with God is a relationship with the opposite of that. Now, this is for me. This is what's going on, what I've learned. But I tell you what, when I started feeling this way, it all started making sense, right? And so when it says entirely ready to have God remove these, what it's saying is, it's entirely ready to have that feeling that I have become used to of free of fear has become my benchmark, right? And when I do something out of character, that feeling, that benchmark, that place of free of fear, it gets unhappy, right? It's not, maybe that's God, right? Maybe for me, God is just a place of freedom, of fear and worry. Right, like I'm not worried about drinking and driving tonight because I don't drink, right? I'm not worried about getting caught buying drugs tonight because I don't do drugs, right? I'm not getting worried about cheating on my wife because I don't cheat on my wife, right? I don't worry about anything. I mean, the only fear I had this morning was missing the alarm clock because I had to get up a little earlier to meet Dave down at the freaking ocean so that I could drop off this boat because these are things that I love. And it wasn't because of character. It's because that is my character. Show up on time. Be there. I'm afraid that if that's the fear I have, it's the fear of the moment where I leave that place of peace and I do something out of character. That to me is what I'm afraid of. Right. And that's not even good because I never oversleep. Right. I've never missed practice. Right. But that was the only thing I had on my mind last night. Set the alarm. I didn't even have to meet them till 8:15. I usually get up at 6 in the morning. It gives me two hours and 15 minutes. But I'm like, set the alarm for 7 just in case, right? Just in case you're fine this night. You just are sleeping like a champion. I got up at 6:50, right? I got up early, right? But that was the only thing I was afraid of, right? But today it's about keeping that place of peace and not worry because I'm not doing the dumb shit that I used to do. We're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. If we start to find this place of peace, this place of comfort, right, we start to protect it, and we start to do the things that keep it peaceful or avoid doing the things that remove the peace, right? You know, obviously, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, whatever it is. I don't even know the gluttony. I know, I mean, I did watch the Brad Pitt movie. I do sort of remember. But it's all of those deadly sins. You know, gluttony is just, I mean, alcoholism is just gluttony, right? Some people have gluttony with food. Some people have gluttony with money. Some people have gluttony with sex. They're so obsessed with this thing, they can't stop, right? Food, we see a lot of people are heavy, man. A lot of people struggle with food. I struggle with food, right? I can go all day and have one meal just like every normal human being, and then come midnight, all of a sudden, the fucking gluttony of food devil shows up, and I'm famished, right? I mean, the peanut, I will eat a jar of peanut butter in 3 days. Is that the worst thing? I don't know, right? I know it's not great, but, you know, I can't stop. I eat it by the spoonful. It's like the same thing with vodka, right? I mean, at the end, I just was drinking straight vodka. I've skipped the bread. I've skipped the jelly. I just eat it right with a freaking spoon. And it's delicious, right? But I'm like, all right, I'll just have one spoon full of peanut butter, and that's it. And I have it, and then I put it all away, and I'm like, and all I can do is think about that freaking peanut butter. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just have two, right? The same fucking devil that comes creeping in when it came to drinking comes back with peanut butter, right? And I'm ashamed to even share this story, right? But the fact is, it's real. And luckily, I'm not going to jail for peanut butter. I'm not getting divorced over peanut butter, right? I might catch some shit for my kids. Daddy, who ate all the peanut butter? Nah, I did it, right? We are out of peanut butter currently at the moment, and my wife has these Nutella. They're like these little containers with these little bit of Nutella and these little sticks. I ate two of those last night. Like a psychopath, right? Now I'm drinking the Grand Marnier. Right now I'm drinking whatever's left. My vodka's gone. It's the same thing, right? I guess the problem is for me is that I don't really have a lot of problems with eating the peanut butter. Actually, I think peanut butter isn't the worst thing that you could eat. But the point is that, you know, I'm always dealing with something. I'm always dealing with something. So, you know, the sixth step to me is really, you know, and I have talked about it, but, you know, if you wanted to look at yourself when you were a kid, right, before, you know, in the innocence of life, you know, and you drew a caricature of yourself, and then you drew a caricature of yourself now, like I said in the past, mine would have, you know, meth and have a bottle of vodka and, you know, whatever it is I used to do would be all over that caricature. And today, you know, I'd like to think of myself as a family guy that likes to go out and paddle. I like to work. I have a great clientele. You know, but I still, you know, these moments of being at peace with God, they still, you know, they're fleeting, right? Because I'm still a human, just a human guy, right? And, you know, like I was struggling with worrying about clients, moving my business. That seems to all be settling in. As soon as I start to settle in, and then I'm like, you know, if these people don't want to come over here, screw them, right? I go from fear to arrogance, right? And that's not a great character either, right? And I have to just try to keep myself centered on the beam. But the main thing for me really is the entirely ready to have God remove them, right? And I just got so hung up on that early on in the program, this whole God, you know, God keeps that topic, that subject, God keeps a lot of people from getting sober. And I think for me, what I'm learning for me, right, just for me, don't want to imply that this is for everybody, but what I'm learning is I think I've had to rediscover what God is in my life, right, and stop taking the self out of it, right? Stop seeking, Tom. Stop looking. What does God can do for me? Instead of maybe just finding this place that if I just am a good person, right, and I'm not afraid of any of the bad shit that used to happen to me, maybe that's just God, right? This place free of fear, right? You know, it is a constant spiritual battle, right? Fear God is here, right? So whatever the opposite of that is what's going to get us out of here. And if you're afraid and you're full of fear, you're full of self, you're not, you should find all these things in the fourth and fifth step, right? The fourth and fifth step really identify that, right? The Mr. Jones, right? I hate Mr. Jones. And then the guy's like, you know, why do you hate him? He's like, I don't know. And well, it turns out he had a nicer car, beautiful wife, better house, right? And Mr. Jones had to take a look at that and figure out, oh my God, I don't need to hate him. I really need to take responsibility and realize that I chose, right, not to do all the things that Mr. Jones did that allowed Mr. Jones to get what Mr. Jones has, right? You know, I know somebody personally who had a CD, right? It was a certificate deposit, right, that had somebody had given them, right? And they spent it. They spent that thing. And then they get all mad, right, when everybody still has theirs, right? They get mad when other people have money, right? When other people have money and they have that same option to go blow it on dumb shit or they save it, right? And when a person doesn't save it and goes and blows it and then gets mad at everybody because they saved theirs, you know, it's no accountability. You have to become accountable, right? I had a conversation with somebody the other day and this whole thing and about, you know, so-and-so did this and so did that. And I'm like, you know, you played a part in that. No, this person did this and this. And I go, listen, at some point, the two of you got together and made a choice to go on this journey together. Both of your feet were there, right? At that moment, you could have said, hey, that's not good for us. Let's not do that. Or the other person could have said, hey, that's not good for us. Let's not do that. But together, you both said, let's do it, right? That negative character came out. Those character defects showed up. And on the journey you went, whether it was a year, 5 years, and at the end, someone dies, right? Someone dies, and the other person's like, that's the drug dealer's fault. And it's like, no, man, no. You know, we all played a role in that because at some point, our feet were all there. That was the biggest, to me, was the biggest eye-opening thing was when I started to take accountability, right? When I started to take a look at these character defects, when I started to address my behavior, right? And realize, oh, shit, this is all my fault, right? All the people that I've ever blamed for all of my problems in my life, and it turns out none of them were to blame, and honestly, all of it was my fault because if my feet were there, I played a role, right? I had a choice, and you know, but I think the sixth step is really, to me, I mean, we've gone, you know, we have admitted, right? And I said this the other night in the meeting. I go, really, you know, entirely ready to have God. This is really starts off in the first and second step, right? We're asked to believe, trust, right? Put all your faith in the idea that there's a God and that he's watching over you. You know, I used to talk about how when I used to pick up my sponsor, Matt, you know, as soon as I picked him up, my whole behavior changed because I wanted to look good in the eyes of Matt, right? We have to find that same energy when we want to look good in the eyes of God, right? And we just have to pretend. You know, this is one of those things you don't get proof, right? There is no burning bush. People will say that, and that's fine. But there's no burning bush. This is faith, right? And you have to have faith, and it also says you have to work hard. Faith without work is dead, and that is the deal. You just have to start believing like God is watching over you and act like it, right? And when you find this place doing that, of this place of peace, because if God's watching and we're trying to do better, we're not going to steal, right? And we start getting into the seventh step, and the seventh step is all the fringy stuff on the beginnings and the ends. I used to think it was the beginning. I used to think it was the end. Then I thought it was the beginning. But I just know there are those things. These are the lingering character defects that keep us sick, right? The stealing the free sugar, right? The flirting, texting, right? All of these little things, right, that nobody sees, right? Nobody has to know about, but it just keeps us in this place of fear because they are so small, right? Who wants to get in trouble for fucking, you know, sending somebody a heart, right? You know, if you're going to do it right, you might as well get in there and share what you're really thinking. But no, just this little heart, right? This little wink, and all of a sudden, bam, what's up with the wink? And you're like, you know, you're fucked, right? You're fucked. But anyway, sixth step, great step. I mean, like I said, and I've said this before, man, what a great way to learn about ourselves, right? What a great way if I'm going to try to be a better person, right? If I'm going to go into the next life and it's going to be free of drugs and alcohol, you know, I might as well clean this shit up, right? I might as well stop doing. That's a character. I don't know if it's a character defect or a shortcoming, right? But cussing, right? And I do it too much. It doesn't seem to cause me any trouble, but my buddy Ben was over the other day with his little girl. We were at the pool and he goes, "Man, my daughter's going to come home with a potty mouth." And I was like, "What did I say? What did I say? I'm sorry." And he goes, "You said, damn it." And I was like, right? And I felt bad. I'm like, whew, at least it wasn't something worse. I try to think, you know, if I'm around a child or kids, I try to, you know, refrain from cussing and saying bad things, but I guess, damn it, went under the radar. And I told my daughter, I go, "You know, honey, when she's around, we have to watch what we say," right? Because my kids are at that age where they're like, "Frack that," right? That's a bunch of shizzle, right? They'll say words that sound like shit, but they're not, right? Shit. Oh, that's a bunch of bullshit, right? Or frack that, or, you know, whatever it is. I go, "We got to be careful," right? Because we don't want to be those people that teaches little girl bad words, so... but you know, that's humiliation, right? Because when he said that to me, I felt humiliated. I was embarrassed and I was ashamed because I'm sitting here like, you're doing so good. And then all of a sudden the guy points out, "Man, you said, damn it." And I was like, darn it. Right. So I don't know, man. I just think it's a great opportunity to be the best that we can. All right. Let me read the daily reflection. I'm sure we are long. I am sorry. How long are we? We are... All right, let's just read. Shut up and read. And to the guy that texts me, man, you know, I said to him, I go, "What?" I said, "Do you struggle with alcohol?" Right? Because he seems, I guess he listens to all the pot. I guess he listens. I don't know. I told him, I said, "Listen, man, we probably agree on more things than we disagree on. And I hope, and I appreciate he listens, actually." I told him, I said, "Man, I hadn't heard from you in a while. I missed you." All right, AA regeneration, June 19th. "Such is the paradox of AA regeneration, strength arising out of complete defeat and weakness, the loss of one's old life as a condition for finding a new one." That's a lot of sixth step, right? Because the guy, the character that I used to be and the character that I am today are completely different. That is my old life. Right, my coach said this morning, he goes, "You know, one thing I appreciate about you, Tom, is you're always early." And I am, right? I had to meet them at 8:15. I was there at 7:45, half hour early. I go, "Well, Dave, on time is late, and early is on time." And that's what I was always told, because that's the kind of character I want to be known for, right? I want to be the guy that shows up early. I want to be the guy that you can count on, and I want to show up early. That's one of the small things we can start doing when we get sober, right? We can start showing up early. We can start showing up, right? Show up early. What can I do to help, right? AA Comes of Age, page 46. "A Thousand Beatings" by John Barleycorn did not encourage me to admit defeat. I believe it was my moral obligation to conquer my enemy friend. At my first AA meeting, I was blessed with a feeling that it was all right to admit defeat to a disease which had nothing to do with my moral fiber. I knew instinctively that I was in the presence of a great love, and when I entered the doors of AA, with no effort on my part, I became aware that to love myself was good and right. As God has intended, my feelings set me free where my thoughts had held me in bondage. I am grateful." All right, man. Our folks, I appreciate. Thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Oh, I won't spare the sundown.